Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This is the broadcast for April 4th in the year of our Lord 2020. This is our one of two and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide, and absolutely we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful, restorative solutions we have at our fingertips. As you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Now, quickly, yesterday we had a two-hour special broadcast. Sam Bushman, Kurt Crosby, my co-host, and the good Sheriff Richard Mack. We had this special live two-hour roundtable. Sam, Kurt, and the good Sheriff Richard Mack break down Donald Trump's Thursday evening press briefing in detail. It was 2 hours and 17 minutes long, and I took notes, folks. I listened to the whole thing, and I wrote notes through the whole press conference. And I'm telling you, it's the longest briefing yet President Trump has been involved in with the White House task force. Now, Donald thinks this is like reality TV, I think. Okay? And I'm not here to criticize President Trump, but I'm just saying, you know, I don't know. The whole thing was full of, in my opinion, socialism, dishonesty, propaganda, one-sided agendas, socialistic redistribution of wealth, government control of the supply chain, government control of the Defense Production Act, which gives government literally control over the private sector like you've never seen before. So between all the handouts and the panic and the meltdown and the Dr. Fauci's waffling back and forth, wow, it was a fiasco. We did this for 2 hours, folks, and I'm telling you right now, it was hard-hitting but valuable, necessary talk. And I'm not here to argue with or down the president. I'm not here to argue with anybody or down anybody. The bottom line is they've been back and forth on this coronavirus so bad, so many times, it's not even funny. Let me give you a couple of quick examples. Richard Mack will be with me for both hours today as well. We're going to talk about this. We're not going to pull any punches. We're going to be very honest, very candid, very forthright. Okay? Okay, I don't know how bad this coronavirus really is, or could be, or won't be, or should be, or shouldn't be, or who's behind it. I don't know 90% of the things that we really need to know to make decisions. And that's one of the biggest problems that I have when they run around yelling transparency and then none of us know anything hardly. That's fine. Maybe we don't know those facts or those answers. That's one thing. But they act like they know and they have the definitive and you better comply. But then they admit they don't know. I mean, they say they've got the best scientists working on this. Yesterday, they didn't even know that, by golly, people that were infected but showing no symptoms could spread the virus everywhere. Now they're going, oh my gosh, people that aren't even feeling sick at all, they just become like super carriers. We didn't know that until just now. Are you kidding me? You know that, folks. That's what the flu does. Okay, you know this. This isn't like rocket scientists like, oh my goodness, this just sprung a whole new thing on the world. Nobody had any idea. Okay, you're lying now. Stop already. Your credibility is becoming a crisis. You want a big crisis? It ain't the redistribution of wealth crisis. It isn't the pandemic. It isn't staying at home. It isn't the economic crisis. The crisis is a credibility crisis for the United States government. Okay, we'll get into that, ladies and gentlemen. This is serious. And you would say, well, Sam, you're just babbling at the brook. No, I'm not. That's what I'm submitting to you that they're doing. When you start to use terms like the military's taking over, and you start to use terms like vaccinations are coming by the fall, and you start to use terms like, you know what, we're going to, well, Anthony Fauci's now pushing for a shelter in place for the whole 50 United States. Donald's been resisting, but Fauci's been pushing for that for quite a while. But Dr. Fauci's credibility has become a colossal crisis, ladies and gentlemen, like you wouldn't believe. You say, what are you talking about? Well, it wasn't, but on the 21st of January, Fauci was flat out asked on mainstream TV, you know, so this thing isn't really a big deal. It's not going to be a problem, is it? And Fauci came back and said, you know, you got to be careful like the flu, but it's not really that big of a deal. What, we're just over 2 months later and Fauci has been telling you for over a month, we got a lockdown and we wrecked the whole economy. Okay, something's not adding up. They first said, well, you don't need face masks. Now they say, well, you got to have face masks, but not the professional kind. Just do your own homemade one. We got to have the, well, we told you that the face masks were, you didn't need them because, well, we just knew that the medical personnel needed them. Wait a minute. There's a candid discussion of whether I need one or not and how good it will do me if I have one. That's a separate discussion from who we should let have them or how we should distribute them or, okay, but to say I don't need one and then later tell me because we wanted the medical personnel to have it. Now you've lied to me in the name of, well, I couldn't do the right thing if I knew. Sam, we only told you you didn't need a mask so you wouldn't go get one because the medical guys need them. We didn't really tell you the truth. We kind of lied to you because, well, we were afraid you might, you know, take that knowledge and do something we don't want you to do with it. See? Okay, now you say, well, I need one, but I don't need a medical grade one. How do I trust you now? You said before I didn't need one. Well, Sam, that was the information we had at the time. No, you had the information at the time. Don't play games with me. Don't lie to me. Okay? It's kind of like peeing on my leg and telling me it's raining. Pardon the dirty phrase a little bit, but I'm making a point here. This is out of control. You're going to lie to me and then later come back and say, well, we lied to you, but we had to because you might do the wrong thing with what, you know, we better not tell you or you might do it. We better not tell you because you might do it, or we better tell you because you might not do it. Okay, now you're going to tell me, well, you didn't really need to shelter in place. I just didn't want you roaming the streets. Or, okay, what are they talking about here? Okay, and Fauci is all over the map. Donald Trump's administration is all over the map. Donald's saying, I don't really believe a lot of this. I'm not going to wear a mask, even though, hey, it's best recommendations. I'm not going to do it. I might change my mind, but I'm not doing it. That's what President Trump says. Fauci running around saying all these different things. First they said this, now they say that. First they said it was not airborne, now they're saying it is. Then they say, well, by golly, it's going to be 6 feet apart, but if it's airborne, how valuable is 6 feet apart going to be, folks? All right, if it's really airborne, what happens when Larry's smoking a cigarette and he's got this coronavirus and he walks down a hallway and then I walk down the same hallway 30 seconds later obeying complete social distancing guidelines and then, well, does that coronavirus that gets in the air bond to the cigarette molecules and if I breathe in that secondhand smoke, am I now infected? Because, okay, somehow we're not being leveled with on this, folks, and they're not comparing the real data and the real numbers. Then they run around and say, well, we don't have the data, but we got to make hardcore decisions and lock you down. Then they say, well, the Chinese lied about their numbers. By golly, we've been telling you these world numbers and these Chinese numbers to incite panic for days and weeks on end. And now, by golly, we don't really know. In fact, the Chinese lied. And now people are starting to say, well, what about the United States numbers? They're not accurate either. And they come back and they go, well, we had a bunch of faulty tests. We're so sorry. We don't. In the end of the day, they don't have a clue, buddy. They don't have a clue. What do you say to all that? And then I come back and start to say, you know what? The media pressing hysteria hype, the government pressing hysteria hype, the government taking unprecedented governmental takeover from the economy to the military to the supply chain to, and you go, wait a minute, all this is because we don't really know and because we don't really have data. At some point, what you create is a gargantuan federal government credibility crisis, the likes of which you have never seen in your life, probably in the history of the world. Sheriff Richard Mack, welcome, sir.
Well, thank you, Sam. Man, what a crucial, crazy time we're in right now.
Amen to that. Now, some would say, Sam, you've way overstated this. This isn't fair. They're doing the very best they can to share what they know at the time they know it, and I don't believe that's a genuine statement at all, sir.
No, I don't either. And the thing that you and I have talked about before, I'm going to say that Trump's doing a fair job with what he has. You and I have talked about Abraham Lincoln before.
Yeah, I know what you mean, but let me just dig in a little bit. He's doing a fair job.
The point is, I wanted to get back to where you started with this whole thing. I don't trust Fauci at all.
I agree.
If it's Fauci or Fauci. I heard it both ways, but
yeah.
But, you know, for him to come out and now he's supposed to be the sexiest man alive thing, that's just stupid. And this man is supposed to be a very serious leader in probably the worst time, according to them, the worst time in world history, that we would be so brazen and bold as to destroy liberty, the worldwide economy, so everybody could avoid a virus that seemingly, so far, is not worse than ones we've had in the past and isn't even worse than the common flu. And so that's where I'm going. And I think Trump has had the wrong advisors. I think Abraham Lincoln did some wrong things in a very crucial time, but I don't know that this is that crucial. And I'm starting to think more and more every day that it's not. And that if we had been reasoned with, if we had been persuaded, if we had real leadership bringing us back, as you mentioned yesterday, bringing us back to fundamental principles, that if the president were saying, and he has said this some, and so I am going to applaud him in one way, because he said yesterday, these are guidelines. I'm not wearing the mask because I have other things I've got to do as far as being the head of the freest nation on the face of the planet. And that's the way we're going to keep America. I'm not going to sacrifice that for any reason, but I will try to help, and I will try to persuade, and I will try to reason with. And then he needs to look seriously. The only thing I would do with him is he needs to look at Dr. Stephen Smith to take Fauci's place.
All right, well, here's what I'm saying. We always buy into a false narrative of choice A and B, and here's how it is. Either we're going to be a denier and say this isn't a big deal, or we're going to be an extremist and say it's such a big deal you got to really enact martial law, buddy, eventually. Why are those the only two options?
Right.
And why do we have to either violate the Constitution or we're all going to die? Okay, that's the false premise they're putting out. When we come back, I'm going to reject that big time.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
TalkRight, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. TalkRight makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download TalkRight today from Google Play or the App Store.
All right, a CNN town hall. Fauci said everybody should be put into a shelter-in-place order. Okay, but this guy's been saying it's no worse than this seasonal influenza for quite a while. Then he changed and said it was way worse. Fauci is not to be trusted. He is creating a credibility crisis for the president of the United States and for the United States government at large. You say, Sam, you're kind of extreme. No, I'm not. Listen up, folks. Fauci dismisses virus models, but urges nationwide lockdown. They don't tell you anything. You can't really rely on models, Fauci is now saying. But wait a minute. The whole model-driven reality that we've made all the decisions on to this date has been based on models. The people that put together the models had these extreme realities, and then they had to update and change the models. Now Fauci is saying, well, there's too many variables going into the models. We really can't know. And the coronavirus models are just like the climate change models. Sheriff, and we're going to get credibility crisis like you haven't, you can't believe. Do you want to respond to this?
Yeah, well, like I told you yesterday, and just as I alluded to a second ago, Dr. Stephen Smith runs a clinic in New York City, and he has 72 patients, and he's treating them all with hydroxychloroquine. And he said every single one of them are responding positively, and it's helping every single one of them, and it's 0% failure. 0% failure. And then about 4 or 5 days ago, Fauci said that when he was asked about the hydroxychloroquine, that it was not tested yet, that it's it would take months to get that to the American people. And this guy is the lead expert on these types of diseases and these types of remedies. And then Laura Ingraham had two, and I record her every night now. She is a leader in the mainstream media that is totally pro solution, and she talks it up, the hydroxychloroquine. She talks that up every night. She has doctors on there that totally make Fauci look like an imbecile and a liar. And so I'm just wondering where this is going.
Well, and that's really the question when you get choice A or choice B. You're either a climate change and a coronavirus denier, and you're just going to let the whole world die because you got your head in the clouds and you're a conspiracy whacked out denier. In fact, you probably should be arrested for your denials, kind of like a Holocaust denier. Or, you know what, you're ready to take away everybody's rights in the name of necessity. And that's choice A or B that they give you all the time. What about choice C, which would say, we acknowledge this is serious. Yep. We acknowledge this is a crisis. We acknowledge we're not going to deny it in any way. We acknowledge that it's not as bad as we're told. It's somewhere in the middle. That's the truth. And now what we're going to do is we're going to have a constitutional response because it's the supreme law of the land and because we have an oath to keep and because we respect this balance between tyranny and liberty. And we're going to do it using the guidelines that we've relied upon forever, the checks and balances in America. We're not going to have the government take the lead. We're going to have the private sector and the individuals take the lead. Government will play a significant partnership role by obeying their checks and balances. And we're going to do this thing with a whole lot of God, family, and country. And okay, what about choice C, which is what I'm proposing? See, it's not even on the table for discussion. In fact, if you bring it up, you get mocked. What about this idea that I'm going to go back to work and I'm going to go out and go to work? I'm going to, you know what? I'm going to use some of the don't handshake ideas and a little bit of the social distancing ideas. I'm going to wash my hands with sanitizer and soap, and I'm going to practice appropriate hygiene. I'm going to do my very best not to bring and spread virus and everything, but I'm going to live together normally, and I'm going to take care of the elderly among us and do my best to help them be protected, not by force, but by choice and agency. I'm going to do a lot of the natural things that we've talked about forever on this show, and we're going to have government play an appropriate role, not to redistribute wealth, not to turn us into a socialist utopia, not to control the supply chains, not to turn us into a military dictatorship, not to do any of these things. And you know what? People are going to die, and it might be a significant number even. But I'm sad about that. I can appeal to God, and I can do everything within my power to make things better. And above that, I'm just going to have to trust and live my life and say, you know what? I wasn't put on the earth to fail. I was put on the earth to succeed. And we're going to do all we can within our power that's reasonable. But when you start to cross the line based on the lack of data and make claims that are wildly changed from day to day to day to day and flat out contradict each other, and then you want to literally destroy the whole economy. And then you want to basically say, we can basically destroy and bring back economies. We are the government. We're above God. We can destroy economies, bring back economies. We can stamp out sicknesses at our own will. And okay, where's the founding father-esque idea that says there's a greater power than government? Where's the founding father-esque idea that says, hey, we the people are in charge around here. Thank you very much. And we the people aren't going to be dictators. We're going to use a system of government that provides for checks and balances to make sure nobody gets too tyrannical. Nobody gets too much power. Everybody has a role to play, but your role is minimal on purpose. And we're going to use the best, in my opinion, governmental support for society in its proper limited role. The government can reach out to foreign nations. The government coordinates state to states. The government has a role to play, but it's very minimal. And we're going to do this thing according to best practice. Where's somebody speaking out like that? And then I want to talk about martial law, but where's somebody speaking out for option C? Everybody else is talking about drugs. I don't want your drugs. Everybody's talking about vaccines. I don't want your vaccines. I may if I get sick. Okay. But right now I'm being forced to pay for everybody's everything. Mike Pence, the big socialist. You don't have to worry about anything. We rejected government health care for years and years and years in the Republican Party. And now we got Donald and the vice president, the two biggest top tier Republicans going, hey, we'll pay for everything for you in health care. Reject the Democrats' health care, but now it's justified. And then later, how do you say it's not justified? If I have a reason for health care and my life is in the balance, it's just as important as when multiple lives are in the balance, isn't it? Or do we cross a Rubicon where socialism becomes acceptable temporarily, but certainly not long term?
Yeah.
See, we've got a credibility crisis, Sheriff.
Well, we do. And I think it's an amazing point to be bringing up because nobody else is talking about this. Laura Ingraham is a little bit, and in some ways she's leading the way on this, especially with the mainstream media. And I've never really been a big fan of hers. But the thing of it is, somebody even came out, and I don't believe it was Fauci, but some of the supposed, and I think she had this on her show, but I didn't get to watch all of it. And it was that they were making fun of the conspiracy theory of remedies and the crazy kook remedies that are out there. And they actually said vitamin C was one of those.
Vitamin C is one of those. And this is what I mean. It's so rare to talk about any real solutions. And if we've tried the vitamin C, the vitamin D, the vitamin A, we've tried this drug, we've tried all the mellow options first, the sunlight, the air, the rest, the sleep. Yeah. If we've tried all those things and we're moving to the next steps, I would have a little bit more support for that. But what we've literally done is we've ran to the pharmaceutical companies and the vaccine companies and said, we got to go from 0 to 9,000. Steal all your rights, because golly, we don't have data and we don't know. And by the way, drugs and vaccines are your answer, baby. As soon as we get those out, in the meantime, we're going to control the supply chain and employ the military, because golly, we don't really even know.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Am I overstating it?
No, not at all. But some of them were even saying that there were mainstreamers and there was people on broadcasts and newscasts and press conferences that were still saying that vitamin C, at the very beginning, they were saying vitamin C was good. And they were saying that vitamin D was good. And, when are they going to come out and say, oh, yeah, this is crazy that you're washing your hands. Yeah, washing your hands maybe once a day is two or three times a day or, after you use the restroom. But all this other fanatic stuff about washing your hands and hand sanitizer and so on. Oh, yeah, that's not good anymore. Because it just seems like this credibility gap that you're talking about, every day almost, it's definitely every two or three days, there's something else that is going wrong. And that, what we said yesterday, yeah, I'm sorry, that doesn't work. And it just keeps getting worse every day about how we're supposed to, you can't associate. Okay, so since we shut down every sporting event and that we shut down the institution of sports in this country, what good did it do it?
Well, don't worry, ladies and gentlemen, they say it's working. We're flattening the curve. What the heck does that mean? The more you flatten the curve or the slower people get the virus, the longer you have to shut down the economy and the less likely that you'll develop herd immunity. Come on, scientists, I'll take you on. Every one of you people, you don't know. Admit it. You got a credibility crisis like you've never seen before in the history of the world, and you're stealing my rights over it.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You USA Radio News with Wendy King.
There are more than 278,000 cases of coronavirus in the U.S., and New York City has the most cases. Mayor Bill de Blasio says they're scrambling to get hospital beds, protective clothing, and ventilators to meet the need.
We are beginning now a race against time as we prepare for next week.
President Trump says the federal government's done its best for New York, blaming the state for not having enough ventilators.
Well, I always knew that pandemics are one of the worst things could happen. There's been nothing like this since probably 1917.
He's announcing new federal guidelines that recommend Americans wear face coverings when they're out in public.
These face coverings can be easily washed or reused. I want to emphasize that the CDC is not recommending the use of medical-grade or surgical-grade masks.
This is USA Radio News.
Why spend more than you have to on your life insurance? Hi, I'm John David Wells from the Wells Report. Did you know that life insurance rates have fallen 60% over the past 25 years? Even if you already own life insurance, you should check out the folks at AccuQuote. Since 1986, they've helped millions of people save up to 60% on their life insurance by comparing the rates and features of dozens of top-rated life insurance products. Want some examples? Here's this one. A healthy 50-year-old non-smoker can buy $500,000 worth of 10-year level term for less than $45 a month. A 60-year-old under $120 a month. 20 or 30 year terms, even permanent plans are also available. And if you're on medications or have health problems, the experts at AccuQuote will still work with you to find an affordable policy. Nobody does it better than AccuQuote. Call 877-437-5912 right now. That's 877-437-5912. 877-437-5912. Life insurance. AccuQuote. Call them today.
Each policy forms and availability vary by state.
New guidelines are in place for social distancing at America's top retailer. USA's John Hunt has the story.
National retail powerhouse Walmart will now limit the number of customers allowed inside its stores and launch new efforts to keep shoppers only moving one direction. Only 5 customers per 1,000 square feet can enter a Walmart, which will be about 20% of each locale's listed capacity. And many stores next week, markers will be put down to direct shoppers on one-way foot traffic, so more customers can avoid coming into close contact with each other as they shop.
A federal judge has ruled that President Trump did not overstep his authority last year when he declared a national emergency at the U.S.-Mexico border. But it allowed 2 environmental suits challenging his border wall strategy to proceed. The suits said Trump's declaration was unconstitutional because it violates a provision in the 2019 budget bill that limits money for border wall construction. You're listening to USA Radio News.
All right, this is serious, serious, serious business, ladies and gentlemen. We're out of control. Literally, they don't even know the things that they're telling you. They told me not to wear a mask for the longest time, and then now they say, well, we told you not to wear a mask because we just wanted to make sure all the, quote, health care personnel had enough. And so even though it was best practice for you to wear one, Sam, now we're saying that. But we didn't say that then because, well, you know, we didn't want you to take all the masks. You know what I'm talking about? Now they're saying, Sam, you got to wear a homemade one or a non-military grade one or a non-quote professional grade one or whatever you want to call it, medical grade. But that's really best practice, too, and they know it, but they're not telling me that because they don't want me to take one of those. Just wear a home one, Sam. You're not good enough for a professional, you know, M95 one or whatever, okay? Their credibility is becoming a crisis. And it wouldn't be so bad if their lies weren't serious and if they weren't taking away my rights and destroying my ability to make a living and so on and so on. So, Sheriff, while Fauci dismisses virus models, but urges a complete lockdown. He's pushing for literally shelter in place. Now, I want you to know the coronavirus models are just as bogus as the climate change models. They don't have a clue. They can't even tell you if it's going to rain tomorrow with very good success, okay? They can't tell you when an earthquake's coming. They can't tell you when a hurricane's coming. They don't even know. Well, Sam, of course we know. Yeah, you can track it and say that it might just have a hook turn and kill me tomorrow, but you can't tell me the truth. You don't know at all. And you don't know about this either. But here's the thing. Martial law is a very tricky business. What on earth is martial law? And I went to Wikipedia. You could debate the source if you want to. But here's what it says martial law is, Sheriff. Martial law is the imposition of direct military control of normal civilian functions by a government, especially in response to a temporary emergency, such as invasion and or a major disaster. Now, I'm going to play you what Donald Trump just said last night in his over an hour briefing. He literally is cranking up the military and cranking up government control of the supply chain like we've never had in our lifetimes, ever. Listen to this.
I'm also signing a directive invoking the Defense Production Act to prohibit export of scarce health and medical supplies by unscrupulous actors and profiteers, the security and secretary. The Secretary of Homeland Security will work with FEMA to prevent the export of N95 respirators, surgical masks, gloves, and other personal protective equipment. We need these items immediately for domestic use. We have to have them. But we've done really well with the purchase of items, and you'll be hearing about that shortly. We've already leveraged the DPA to stop the hoarding and price gouging of crucial supplies. Under that authority, this week, the Department of Health and Human Services, working with the Department of Justice, took custody of nearly 200,000 N95 respirators, 130,000 surgical masks, 600,000 gloves, as well as bottles, many, many, many bottles, and disinfectant sprays that were being hoarded. All of this material is now being given to healthcare workers. Most of it's already been given out. And we've given a lot to New York, a lot to New Jersey, a lot to other places. In addition to ensure that healthcare workers in New York have the protective equipment they need, the federal government, in the name of the Department of Defense, is providing about 8.1 million N95 respirators, Department of Defense, and we've already given 200,000 of them to New York City. Mayor de Blasio needed them very badly, so we got them to Mayor de Blasio in New York City. They were very grateful. 8.1 million, and we're going to be increasing that number from 8.1 million to more. That's a lot of N95 respirators. Today, my team spoke with the CEO of Ochsner Health and the CEO of LCMC, the two largest health systems in New Orleans. They said they feel that they currently have enough ventilators. I think a lot of people are going to have enough ventilators and masks and appreciate what we did and all of the things we've been doing with them, working with them. The CEO of Ochsner, Warner Thomas, who's really been fantastic, I have to say, indicated a need for 230,000 surgical gowns, and I instructed FEMA to deliver them tomorrow, so they'll have the 230,000. That's Louisiana, New Orleans. 230,000 surgical gowns, they'll have them by tomorrow. We're expanding the role of the armed forces in our response effort because no one is better prepared to win a war than the United States military, and we are in a war.
Well, let me rewind this a little bit, okay?
Effort because no one is better prepared to win a war than the United States military, and we are in a war. The invisible enemy, remember, over 9,000 retired Army medical personnel have answered their nation's call and are now supporting field hospitals and medical facilities all across the country, like what I just told you, that Governor Cuomo requested we do something in Javits where we take it over. And we're going to have that manned by the military because it's very tough to get people, more people in the New York area. So we're going to have it manned by the military, Javits Center. National Guard members have been activated to help states build new treatment centers and assist in the seamless distribution of medical supplies. That includes National Guard. The National Guard is assisting very strongly because the states were, in many cases, unable to have the delivery capability from warehouses and other places that we put the supplies. So I've given approval to use the National Guards, the various National Guards in the different states. And they're doing a fantastic job of not only protecting people, but delivering material. The Army Corps of Engineers has assessed more than 100 facilities in all 50 states and is rapidly building temporary hospitals and alternative care sites in many states, in New York, New Jersey, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Arizona, California, Colorado, Florida, Illinois, New Mexico, Oregon, Washington, Wisconsin, Ohio. They're doing a lot of work in just those states, plus additionals that are being, will be announced probably tomorrow, but they're doing some job. The Army Corps of Engineers, what a job they're doing, and FEMA, what a job they're doing. As we deploy the power of our military.
Military, FEMA, Defense Production Act, control the supply chain, seizing products from hoarders and redistributing them. Sheriff, the more he talks, the more in fear I become. We are bordering on martial law like you would not believe.
Yeah, and it also just reported that New York City and New York are going into private hospitals and taking their equipment and their surgical masks and ventilators because they don't need them. Or they're only taking the ones they don't need. So now we literally have a police state in New York that is going around to private hospitals and determining what they need and don't need, and then they actually just take their stuff for because of this virus. You know, there still has to be laws about stealing and interrupting somebody else's business. And maybe that hospital says, yeah, we expect that we're going to need these for the same reasons that you do. And so government is determining what.
So now what you've got is medical supply chain and medical supplies eminent domain.
Yeah.
Going on
yeah,
here.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right?
Right. Yeah, exactly. Eminent domain is it.
And they're saying it's necessary. Now, Donald's saying we're going to have the military and that, you know, the Army Corps of Engineers, literally in every state, they've already got them, and they're basically grabbing these buildings. Now, I don't know whose buildings they are, but they can't be like government, federal government buildings everywhere, can they? And they're going to turn them all into these hospitals, these health centers. What eventually is coming with that? I mean, is that going to be where you and I deny this, and they say you're a mental health risk, you're going to go to this building?
Right.
Now, you could say, Sam, you're taking this too far, and my response is, no, I'm not.
You're taking it too far.
What are they going to do with this whole infrastructure? You say they're building it up overnight, Sam, and they're not, you know, building new buildings. They're taking over buildings. But where does the authority come in taking over buildings and turning them into big hospitals and then employing all these military personnel? And pretty soon, day to day, my life is surrounded with military personnel all the time. And at what point will it become, well, they're remaking America, sir. Right?
That's the biggest concern is, they're remaking the world, and America is leading the way for us to say it's okay to sacrifice, destroy, fundamentally change principles of liberty because we have an emergency. And so that will never stop. That will never stop again. Whatever happens next, we'll always have this rule of law now, or this rule of thumb, not rule of law, this rule of thumb or this tradition that it's okay to sacrifice liberty, economy, family, American ideals for whatever emergency they
want. And what's going to happen is I'm going to get the biggest criticism of anybody for standing in the gap.
Yeah, perhaps so.
Do we reflect about our future and where we as a culture are moving? Do we keep our trust in our jobs, homes, money, life necessities, investments, stock markets? Do we believe that our 401ks or other retirements will always be there and that the current economic order will recover? Is the economy going to recover and life return to normal? It ain't gonna happen. By a friend of Medjugorje, whether you are poor, middle class, or rich, It Ain't Gonna Happen, a book of astounding revelations about the present economic order and where we are heading. It Ain't Gonna Happen by a friend of Medjugorje. To order, visit Medj.com, spelled MEJ.com, or call Caritas in the U.S. 205-672-2000. 205-672-2000.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
I believe that the federal government will never be able to recover from this credibility crisis. They were saying the same things back in 2009 when it was the SARS scenario. They didn't take it this far, but it's the same scenario. We don't have enough data. We're all in a panic. We're going to destroy your rights, and we're going to remake America over this. And the reason I keep calling about or saying and speaking out about the remaking of America, Sheriff, is because what is this going to look like on the other end? Donald Trump is saying you should never shake hands with anybody ever again, sir. And if we would do that, not only would we reduce the coronavirus spread, but you would, you know what? A lot of people die from the flu, and it's because you shake hands. And, you know, what is society going to look like at the end of this? We're spending $6 trillion, and they're planning to spend a bunch more. I mean, literally, Bank of America opened up their loan opportunity Friday morning at midnight. And they already had 10,000 people submit loan requests. I don't know how much the average loan size is, but they're going to run out of money. And they're going to do another round and another round because they have to. They've literally intentionally, the government has, in dictator fashion, shut down the economy completely. Now, I say dictator fashion because it was only a recommendation, but everybody complied. They're literally involved in the remaking of America without a whimper. But what is it going to look like long-term out of the other side of this thing, Sheriff?
Well, no kidding, Sam. I really, the more I'm on your show and the more I talk with you, the more concerned I am about this fundamental change.
And am I inciting panic or am I asking fair, open-minded, honest questions that everybody should be asking?
Oh,
that's
no.
Kind of the point here, right?
Totally, yeah. The option C. Why is it this do or die mentality from the federal government and from the White House and from it's worse in other places. But I still believe that Trump has taken a measured approach and he has not given a single order. And some of these governors are going way beyond these ridiculous orders and arresting people like. One guy in California was just surfing, and they arrested him. At the same time, they're announcing 30,000 releases from prison. Why do we need to put a surfer in there if we're releasing the other some very hardened criminals?
Well, why do we got to put religious leaders in there? Why do we got to keep some of the people in there like Steve Stockman? Why do we got to keep them in there? He's got health problems and a legitimate reason to be released, but they're releasing gang members and rappers and all these people. And Steve Stockman can't get released.
Yeah.
Sam Girard isn't going to be released.
Get released.
What's going on around here, Kurt, Sheriff? And I look at this and I go, at first you could say it's an oversight. Maybe they don't really realize. Maybe they're not aware. I don't believe that anymore.
No,
because they're taking too many in-your-face drastic actions, which will never let America be the same afterwards.
Yeah, and let's see, it was the mayor of, oh my gosh, was it New Orleans? Oh my gosh.
For which item? Sorry.
He came out and said he was just asking people to, he was literally doing a press release to criminals. And he said, we're asking you not to commit any crimes. we're going to release a lot of you, and a lot of you, we're just not going to come after you anymore. So we're asking you, please, don't commit any more crimes. In fact, this was on Laura Ingraham last night, and she was almost rolling out of her chair laughing at this guy. And it was some liberal mayor. Gosh, what city was it? Anyway,
I can look it up, but this is the point we're talking about.
Making fun of him. I mean, literally making fun of him. And he was serious at first. I asked my wife, I said, is this guy joking?
No, he's not joking. He really believes that's what they can appeal to. Listen, in America so far, there's about 275,000 people infected with the coronavirus.
Yeah.
There's 7,000 deaths, basically, 7,084. Now, does that really justify the government in all 50 states to the Army Corps of Engineers literally taking over buildings, building, quote, health medical centers, literally staffing it with and controlling it with military, controlling the complete supply chain, literally saying if I have M95 masks and I want to sell them on eBay or sell them to somebody else around the world that I'm a hoarder and a bad actor and an evil guy, and they're going to literally come in by force and take my masks and have the government basically acquiesce and control them under this eminent domain idea that government can control and do anything it wants, literally locking down everybody in the country for 7,000 deaths. We have quadrupled that every year from flu or more. Okay, and they're not even talking about that comparison. They're not talking about any of the solutions that could, in my mind, make a difference. Waiting on a vaccine is not helpful. I don't want to take the vaccine anyway, because I don't trust the vaccines. The flu vaccine is not even credible at all. Okay, this is what I mean by a credibility crisis. How effective is the flu vaccine? And it's anywhere from 10% to 50%, depending on if they get the right strains. Well, do you know how many strains of the coronavirus there already are?
Yeah, dozens.
Dozens. Okay, they're never going to get it right, sir. The vaccine's never going to be safe and effective at all. If you don't believe me, go study the Vaccine Injury Compensation Fund that spent billions. Okay, the government is going to get such a credibility crisis over time that nobody will trust them. Nobody. Then what, Sheriff?
And how many times have we said this? I don't know how many years I've been on your show, Sam. How many is that? I don't know. About 10?
More than that.
I've been on your show more than 10 years?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because remember we were talking about right after your court case win, we were talking about things.
Oh, yeah, of course. So, but let's look at this. We've said for maybe 20 years, all my rights, all the time, that we don't sacrifice liberty for safety or security or to feel good. We can do this. We can do all of this. I've always said police can enforce the law without cutting corners on the Constitution. I've said that. You've said that. So now we come to a crisis, and our leaders, who would be the ultimate protectors of American liberty, are now saying, no, it's okay to sacrifice all of that. It's okay to sacrifice your families and your economy and your liberty and your ability to move around, and we'll put you in this little cocoon of behavior where you cannot shake hands anymore and you're bumping elbows. And Sam, how many times do we have to hear that we're going to fundamentally change America? And Obama ran on that. Now Bernie Sanders is running on that. And even Joe Biden, who was part of the fundamental change with Obama, is saying we're going to fundamentally change America. What are we talking about? Here we are with a crisis of the day where they are literally changing, fundamentally changing America, and everybody in Washington, D.C. is totally supporting it.
Now, in every state, it's a separate republic. Do we agree?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And the republics together make up the United States, and we have jurisdictionally, by the consent of the governed, given authority to the states, and then to the federal government, different authorities, dual sovereigns, if you will. And we've invested in this. But in the state of Utah, for example, you've only got 1,255 people that have tested positive for the coronavirus out of 3.3 million people. And there's only 7 deaths in the whole state. And we've literally been locked down for weeks, Sheriff.
Yeah.
And now when you go into Walmart, you're only going to be able to walk one-way streets in Walmart with your shopping cart, buddy.
I saw that. That just came out. So, Yeah.
You better not let your wife get too far ahead while you look at something, buddy, because you're going to have a crisis on your hands.
Yeah, the even flow police will be right on top of you.
And you're getting to where then they're going to restrict, some retailers now are restricting how many members, like Costco's saying, if you have a membership, you can only have two people go in.
Right.
You can't, so me and my wife couldn't bring our children with us, would have to have her go by herself or whatever else. And okay, and I understand we don't want to get people sick. But the point is, how long can this go on, and how much of this can we tolerate? I'm telling you right now, if there becomes a disruption in the supply chain, if you live in the big cities, you're going to have riots on your hands, Sheriff. If you don't have teepee in your TV, buddy, and some beer, it's going to go south fast.
It has to be coming. There's no way you maintain the food supply and all the other essentials that people need to live. There's no way. And as a matter of fact, my son Jimmy, who you know very well, he and I have already talked about when the phone shut down and communication shuts down, where we're going to go. And so the plan is already there, because this thing is just headed south, and it just keeps going south. And I'm really expecting that the people of this country are going to be taken by surprise by how far this goes. Because what do I have that's going on, Sam, historically of the last 3 months, 2.5 months, what do I have to base that on? It just keeps getting worse and worse and worse. Now, I'm not going to assail Walmart or Costco or any other of the grocery stores. If they're implementing these policies on their own, but if they're doing this because they're forced to by government,
Well, and that's the part we don't know yet. We pretend there's no force going on, but yet here's what I know. You got to define an essential versus a non-essential service. Now, let me ask you this question. Is Hobby Lobby an essential service?
Not even close.
Ask your wife, buddy.
Yeah.
All right, now, here's the point. Hobby Lobby closed because they were mandated to or told to because they're non-essential. Then they decided that they wanted to come back and work, so they brought back some of their workers, and they literally got shut down.
Yeah.
So when is a polite, we need you to really do this for the good of the country, versus when are you forced, Sheriff?
Right.
I think what you've got is a very soft hand saying, please do this, and then anybody that doesn't comply is forced.
Right.
I think at first it's like you can go outside and do this and do that, but if you do it, well, now we're going to crack down because we really don't want you doing it. We just didn't want to tell you it's forced. And we're seeing a lot of that going on. But out of the other end of this, what are we going to see? Let me give you the next step here. Because you got, and what we'll do is we'll take this into the next hour and talk about it. What will the next steps be in this? And you might say, Sam, we're going to get over this in 2 or 3 or 4 weeks. Spring's going to come, it's going to heat up, and the virus is going to go away, and we're going to be all good and get back to work. Fine. What happens when fall comes? What happens when, like Anthony Fauci said, or whatever, this is going to be a seasonal thing now? Where will the virus go? What will it do next? You say, don't worry, Sam, the SARS and all these others, they were mild. Yeah, but understand the coronavirus is from the same family as the SARS and the other viruses, right? So the question becomes,
there's gonna be things that have shut down.
What's this going to morph into as it goes seasonally? And what if we get a Hillary Clinton or a Barack Obama or a Bernie Sanders or a Joe Biden at the helm instead of the Donald? And then what will happen? How tyrannical will it get in 2 years or 3 years or 4 years or whatever? Okay, the point is, this isn't going away. And you can say, well, it's going to warm up, Sam, and the virus is going to go away. Yeah, but the discussion and the reality and the next crisis of the day is going to come. What will that look like? Right? Let's talk about it. Sam Bushman and the Good Sheriff on your radio. I'm submitting to you, they're flirting with martial law. They're literally getting the military involved in every aspect of our lives. They're literally taking over and controlling the supply chain. They're telling you it's voluntary, but if you don't comply, it becomes forced in a hurry. It's kind of like voluntary income taxes, kind of. You can volunteer, but if you don't, we're going to throw you in jail. Where are we going with this? God save the Republic, people.